Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I am the National Field Director for STAND. And normally I would introduce our host, but he's traveling today, so I will be your host. This is going to be a different kind of a call. We're not centering on one particular issue, but I'll open in prayer, and then we'll open the phone lines and talk about whatever you want to talk about. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity today to come together as patriots, come together as those who love this country, those who seek its betterment, the best that you have for it. Lord, we know we're not experiencing that best right now. We're experiencing things that are a lot less than what you had in mind when you gave the founders the wisdom and the understanding to be able to put together a government unrivaled by anything that has ever existed in the history of man. But yet, we've drifted away. We've drifted away from you. We've drifted away from your word. We've drifted away from righteousness. Your word says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we've gotten so into the sin that we've lost track of who we are as Americans. And so, Lord, we need you to bring us back. We need a revival. We need you to refocus us on what's right, what's good, what marriage is, what life is about, the value of human life, the fixing the whole gender issue that we're redefining everything. We're redefining things that people have known and people have believed for hundreds, if not thousands, of years, and yet we're not improving ourselves. In fact, we're getting farther and farther into debauchery and life situations that just confound us and confuse us. And so, Lord, we ask on this call today that you would give us the wisdom that we need to be able to understand some of the issues that we're dealing with, be able to move forward in getting us back on track, on renewing our minds, renewing our thinking, renewing and reviving the church. We've been praying for quite some time for a great awakening, and Lord, we need that. We need it desperately. We need our leaders to be godly men and women. We need our leaders to have a relationship with you so that they understand what truth is. And so we need you to work in us and through us today. So Lord, show us the way as we share this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to open the call today. My internet is down, so I'm depending totally on vanity. I don't know who you are. I don't know anything about you, except that we do have some people on the call. And so I'm going to begin the call today by reading from the promo that we sent out. If you've seen it, then this is not new to you, but this is what we sent out in preparation for this call. There are so many things going on right now, it's difficult to sort them out. There was the first 2024 Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee Wednesday evening. There were the Maui wildfires and the anemic federal response. There are the continuing indictments of a former president. There are the ongoing congressional investigations of the Biden crime family. There is the war in Ukraine, and at what level should America be involved? There is the continuing invasion at the southern border. Each of these issues captures a measure of our attention. Some are ultimately more significant than others. Rather than pick just one to discuss, let's talk about all of them. What's on your mind? What would you like to discuss? What issues are important to you? Press *6 to get in queue. I don't know that we've ever done this on the National Awakening Conference call before. This is an open forum. I've raised some issues. I've raised some questions. One of the things that Bishop is very concerned about, of course, and we've talked about this at length, is the murder of children in our cities, drive-by shootings, and how youth—it seems that young people have no morals, have no have no standards, and so that's also an issue that that we could talk about today. But let me raise that first one, the Republican presidential debate on Wednesday evening in Milwaukee. There's been all kinds of discussion about that. You know, who won, who shouldn't even have been there, who should have been there. Of course, we know that Bishop Jackson was not there and should have been. There's probably some of the other ones should have been, could have done a better job than some of that were there. But if you watch the debate or if you have some opinions about that, we'd like to hear that. And also then one of the major things that's happening right now is these continuing revelations of how deep the Biden family has been involved in bribery and other issues through Hunter's involvement, and apparently when Joe Biden was vice president, he was deeply involved in Hunter's misdeeds and has denied it consistently, but yet the more we discover, the more that's uncovered, the more we recognize that this present administration is deep into scandal, and you know, we're wondering sometimes, and this is, I guess, is another question we can talk about. When is the Republican Congress going to stand up and say, okay, we've had enough? It's time to remove this man. It's time to remove this administration. It's time to take some action against how things have been going. And of course, you know, the scandals and all of the issues with bribery and those kinds of things. Those are some things that I guess the major media would say, well, that, you know, that's really insignificant. But then you also have the border, opening the border and allowing anybody and their brother to come in, and then we lose track of them. We don't know where they are. We don't know what they're here for. If it hasn't already, it's going to bite us in the backside. It's going to come back and hurt us. Of course, it is hurting. it's kind of funny, if it wasn't so sad. These blue city mayors who are complaining about all the influx of illegal aliens, but yet declared themselves to be sanctuary cities. Now they regret that decision. But it is kind of humorous. If it wasn't so sad. Okay, I think we have one question, so let's go ahead and take that. Go right ahead.
Hi, Marlon. This is Bob Knight. And
hey, Bob. Good to talk.
Yeah,
to you.
How are you doing? You did a nice job doing an overview of what, you know, all the things we're facing, and I'd like to address one of them, and that is the debate the Republican candidates had. I gave them high marks in my recent Washington Times column, but I did say that overall they didn't convey the gravity of the challenges we're facing. They did not come together to condemn the persecution of President Trump, for instance. That was a perfect opportunity for them to say, you know what they're doing is politicizing the 2024 election. You've got Democrats in four different jurisdictions filing charges against the former president of the United States in a clear bid to disqualify him for the 2024 election. All the Republicans on the stage, whatever they think of Donald Trump, should have come together and said, you know what, we're united, that we're going to stop this. It's wrong. We're going to lose our republic if these unworthy prosecutions continue. And by the way, maybe the people in Congress ought to be thinking about a conspiracy investigation involving all those left-wing prosecutors that are going after Donald Trump. Have they colluded? Have they, you know, do they have their phone records showing that this is a concerted attempt to disrupt the 2024 election? I think it is. I bet the evidence is there somewhere. But the other thing I emphasized in my column is that they also should have been more forceful in talking about this cultural jihad against America's Judeo-Christian values. We're not just in decline. We're under severe attack on every level you can think of from within. And the LGBTQ agenda has basically said, we own your kids, every child in America. And if we can reach all of them, we're going to give them an opportunity to come our way and explore dysfunctional sexuality. And anyone saying otherwise, we're going to punish using the rule of law. This is a tremendous challenge, and you wouldn't know it from this first debate. Maybe it's because of the questions asked. Okay, I don't want to be too harsh with the candidates. They were trying to answer the questions that the moderators posed. But, you know, most parents in America are looking at this saying, my gosh, the school officials all over the nation are saying, we're going to tell you what your child's gender is, and you have no say in it. In Montgomery County, Maryland, a federal judge just ruled against two parents' groups, one of them a Muslim group, another a Catholic group, and said that parents don't have any right to know what's being taught in the schools. They don't have any right to know if teachers are using a different gender for their child than the child actually is born with. This was a judge appointed by President Obama, so it's not really a surprise. And she basically said, well, the parents have every right to indoctrinate their children at home with their own religious values, but what they're doing at school doesn't interfere with that. They could always have a different point of view at home. And I'm thinking the kids are in school, you know, 8 to 3 every day, 40 hours a week, and the parents have to overcome that with the truth. I mean, there should be a national revolt going on, and it's piecemeal. It is happening around the country, but I would have liked to see the Republican candidates more forcefully voice the concerns of parents and others that we're losing our country, where our children are being targeted for terrible things like gender mutilation. This is very serious, and it's Republicans tend to talk in practical terms about solutions. Democrats advance by making a moral case, even if it's immoral, over and over. They use moral arguments to pull the heartstrings of the country. And Republicans need to learn that. Ronald Reagan was good at it, and he told stories. And, of course, we know our Lord and Savior Jesus told parables because that's the effective way to reach the human heart. All the statistics in the world don't reach the human heart. So Republicans have to find their moral voice, I think. And I've already taken up too much time, so I'll leave it at that. And thank you for giving me an opportunity to unload for a while.
Well, Bob, I appreciate that because you said you're going to deal with one issue. You're going to deal with the debate, but I think you've covered just about everything else. You did an excellent job. So, hey, people, if you want to find out more of what Bob thinks, you know, pick up that article because I have been impressed recently with Bob's articles. Not that I wasn't impressed before, but you talked about, you know, the not standing up for President Trump, and I think, you know, when you have people on the stage who technically agree with the prosecutors like Chris Christie, they're not gonna be united in their condemnation of what's going on. I think I've heard Chris Christie in interviews say basically that Donald Trump deserves what he's getting, and that's in my mind is despicable. Whether he was actually guilty of the things that he's being charged with, which you know, for the most part are picayune at best, we've never prosecuted a former president before. What is so significant about this that allows this precedent to be set? You know, what are these crimes that are so desperate that we have to put this man away. I think I don't know exactly, but I think I heard, you know, turn basically if he was convicted of all these charges, he would be sentenced to several hundred years in prison. You know, it's like, that's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But yet they, you know, you're right, Bob. They don't stand up. They don't stand up with one voice and say, well, the Republican Party doesn't stand up with one voice, you know, let alone these eight candidates. They don't stand up with one voice and say, this is wrong. I think there's a, I don't know how many there are, but there's a wing of the Republican Party that is kind of rubbing their hands in glee seeing what's happening to Donald Trump. And, you know, that the idea that, you know, that some have put forth that, well, this is to keep him from running. This is, you know, this is to keep him from ever holding elected office. Well, you know, that's a stretch of the law to say the least. But, you know, the targeting of this man in the way that it's being done, and then, you know, all of this all at once, just before the election, everybody wants these trials before the election. You know, this is so clearly election interference that it boggles the mind that people aren't able to see it. So, you know, thank you, Bob, for raising that issue. It's a very significant issue. And I think, too, you know, what you said about the parents. Parents all over are standing up and saying, we've had enough, but it's not getting through. You know, here in our locality, we switched from a 5-0 basically liberal school board to a 3-2 conservative. And that's happening all over the country. But yet in a lot of places, that's not even an option. There just aren't enough conservatives to do that. And then you've got these parents who see what's going on. They want to do something. In a lot of cases, the only thing they can do, you know, I know that, that case in Maryland, you know, they don't have the right to opt out. Well, then the only option you have is to opt out of the school, opt out of the public school. You're going to have to find another way to educate your children, because if you don't have the right to opt out of this, as Bob, as you described it, as immoral, this immoral teaching, this immoral, indoctrination, what other option do you have? The only other option you have is opt out of the school.
Hey, we all have freedom. Marlon,
go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I don't want to presume, but can I make another point or two, if you don't mind?
Sure.
I'd like to see more people participate, hitting *6 and get into the discussion. We had Claire Lopez on for a minute. I saw that she's always a great contributor, and she got off, so I hope she comes back. But anyway, another point that I think should be made is that Democrats have contested elections. Every presidential election since 1980 has been contested by Democrats, and yet nobody filed charges against them. Stacey Abrams, right, to this day, doesn't believe she lost the election to Governor Brian Kemp in 2018. She's still an election denier. No charges there. The point is, if one thing they're charging with President Trump, against President Trump, is that he is lying about thinking the election was fraudulent. And I see no evidence that he thinks the election was stolen. So do I. So do a lot of people. Millions of people think that. That's not actionable.
Right.
And if a president can't, or any candidate can't, ask his aides to look into possible fraud, and somehow that's a conspiracy, then we're in la-la land here. This makes no sense at all.
Right.
That's how bad it is.
Right. Thanks, Bob. We do have
sure.
Another question, so let's go ahead and take that.
Yeah, hi. This is Claire Lopez. Sorry, I've just been having constant trouble every single week now on my landline, which is Verizon Fios, cuts me off, will not let me continue the call every time. And on the cell phone, which I'm using right now, which is a T-Mobile service, they're charging me a penny a minute, which I guess I can afford. But just heads up, in case anybody else is having problems like this, you might mention it, and there must be something going on. But what I thought I would chime in on is a long-form interview that I did last night with Hugo Gerner, who is actually a construction business owner out in California, but he runs a website and an organization called EPAC, E-P-A-C, Ensure the Preservation of America and Our Constitution. Very excellent website if you want to go there, EPAC, E-P-A-C. And just to reprise our discussion last night very quickly, it gets to something there that Pastor Marlin, you had mentioned in the beginning about our border. Now, not only do we have news just today that an Uzbek asylum seeker, several of them actually, connected to the Islamic State, were apparently linked to the Islamic State. So we don't know what's coming across that border. But what we do know is that there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young, fit, military-aged Chinese men coming up from the southern border. They can fly into Ecuador with no visa. They don't require a visa for Chinese there. Then they hop on buses paid for by, we're still trying to figure out by whom, probably NGOs like Catholic Charities and Lutheran Social Services. American, U.S. NGOs are doing this. They're paying for this stuff. They ride the buses up, pass through the Darien Gap between Colombia and Panama, and then hop more buses and make their way to the northern border, the northern border of Mexico, southern border U.S. with Mexico. And I'll just tell you one very disturbing thing. I'm in contact with Michael Yon, Y-O-N, on Twitter, Michael_YonJungle. And he's been down there reporting, excellent investigative reporter on the border, again, Darien Gap, Panama. And he's been watching and talking to villagers in that area. And they've observed these hundreds of young Chinese men coming through. And something very disturbing, they saw them coming out of the Darien Gap, which is a rugged jungle passage. Many people die in there. And they come out and they're relieved and they're, you know, phew, we made it. And then the Chinese men go and they slaughter chickens and they drink their blood. We didn't know what that was. So we asked our good friend, virologist whistleblower, Dr. Li Mengyan, you might have heard about her. And she said, oh, yeah, that is the signature training ritual of the Special Operations Brigade of the People's Liberation Army of China, nickname Jungle Tigers. So that's what's coming up across our southern border. It's wide open. And one last point on that is that they have CBP on orders, of course, from DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, has made sure that everybody has cell phones. They're all given free cell phones. There come the NGOs again, United Nations, State Department. And there's an app on the cell phone called CBP1, Customs Border Protection 1-O-N-E. And they're supposed to make an appointment on that app with a judge in the United States for an asylum hearing. And, oh, by the way, the backup now goes about 7 to 10 years. They come through a port of entry. They show the CBP agents their cell phone app and their appointment, and they're waved right through. No background check, no vetting, no nothing. And so hundreds of thousands, formerly illegal, are now being shell-gamed, reclassified as legal because they're coming through the southern border that way. I was just down on the border a few weeks ago with the bishop, Bishop E.W. Jackson, and his team. We were at Eagle Pass, and we saw this. Anyway, I don't want to take up more time, but I thought I'd mention that to you guys.
Claire, I appreciate that very much. That's very important information. I think that's something that, of course, the media is not talking about that. We have to find that out some other way. Just again, realizing that what's happening at the southern border is illegal, and that it's another impeachable offense. I'm really stirred up about this. I think we would have enough to impeach this man for, if we have the guts to do it. But we have another comment, another question. Let's take that. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Melvin Johnson from Texas. Concerning the illegalities of our border and the election processes, I watched the video, the movie 2000 Mules, and if Georgia and Michigan and some of these states that have done so much to overturn or be involved with, let's say, illegalities when it comes to elections, I will be convinced when they can explain to me how a woman from South Carolina be in the Atlanta, Georgia suburb at 1 a.m. in the morning stuffing ballots into those ballot boxes on video with rubber gloves on to hide her fingerprints. If they can convince me that she was doing something legally, then maybe I'll consider accepting what's going on. But we can see that there's a lot of illegalities going on, and we just need to join together and do our very and ultimate best, because this nation is at stake.
Thank you, Pastor. I think that's an issue that, again, what Bob brought up earlier about President Trump, he believed that the election was legal, but he's questioning it. No, he and like Bob said, and me and a lot of other people, like you just said, Pastor Melvin, explain that one. Explain 2000 Mules. Explain all these irregularities. The argument is made, and all of the defense against this is a pack of lies. But the argument is made, well, the courts threw all of that out. Well, the courts never did consider it. The courts never looked at it. There isn't a judge in this country that looked at the evidence and said, that's not valid. They simply refused to look at the evidence. And I think one positive that could come out of this case in Georgia in particular is Donald Trump is going to have the opportunity to present the evidence. Unless something happens that he's not permitted to defend himself. I mean, if he's able to put the evidence out there so that it will be a jury trial. If he's able to put the evidence out there and the media gets a hold of it, then people are going to be hearing things that they've never heard before, because the media shut it down. I mean, social media shut it down. This whole government social media conspiracy, collusion. Bob mentioned earlier. Did the prosecutors collude? We know now the government and social media platforms colluded. And then the 2016, President Trump colluded with Russia. The only ones who colluded with Russia was the Hillary campaign. And that's never been investigated. So, you've got all of this stuff going on, and I don't know. Sometimes I think the vast majority of Americans are simply blind to the whole thing. But like Bob said earlier, there ought to be a Vivek Ramaswamy says, we need a revolution. You know, I'm sure he's not referring to a violent revolution, but we need at least a revolution of ideas. We need a revolution of changing things, of getting things right side up that are upside down. And I'm not promoting his campaign by any stretch, but, you know, it's an idea. And Bob mentioned this earlier, too, is, you know, that with these eight candidates on the stage, none of them really conveyed the significance, the importance, the I don't know, is this a word, vitalness of this whole situation. If we continue, and even we've got two more years, or at least a year and a half of this administration, the damage that's been done in this short amount of time, are we gonna survive? And we can't afford another 4 years of a Democrat administration. It doesn't matter who the president is. We just can't. So someone has got to step up and say, hey, this is not just a difference in policy. This is not just a difference in political ideas. I think Sarah Huckabee Sanders, when she was running for governor of Arkansas, well, I guess it was her response to the State of the Union. You know, it's not that one side is left and one side is right. One side is right and the other side is crazy. It's bizarre. It has gone too far. And we have to be able to bring it back. And I'm not sure any of those candidates on the stage Wednesday night really understand that. At least it wasn't expressed. All right, we have one more question. So go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Jose from California. Quick comment and question. It seemed that during the lockdown in California, there was a lot of guns that were being sold at gun stores, just probably for self-protection. But several gun store owners have said, and this is just anecdotal, that it was consistently a Chinese man that came in and bought an AR, a 9, and a huge amount of rounds. It was person after person. Again, this is anecdotal, but this was the statements from several stores. So wonder with the previous commenter's comment about the fighting age men coming across the southern border, is that an issue? Have you seen or heard anything about that? Are these people citizens protecting themselves, or is there something more nefarious going on? Thank you.
Good question, Jose. That's, you know, I think it's something that should be looked into very definitely. And I don't know if Claire is still on, if she has any comment about that, because that's if that's the case, if there's something more nefarious going on, then somebody better be aware of it. It's kind of, you know, prior to 9/11, you know, who was aware of these mostly Saudi guys who were in this country plotting and never said anything? You know, do we have hundreds, if not thousands, of young Chinese men in this country plotting and nobody knows anything about it? That's a significant question. So thank you, Jose, for bringing that up, because that's news to me. I mean, you know, yeah, we heard all across the country, we heard of the increase in arms sales, in people buying weapons. A lot of that that I heard about in particular was young women, housewives, etc. You know, realizing that, hey, when you're cutting back on the police force, when you're defunding the police, when you're, somebody's going to have to defend my home. Somebody's going to have to defend my family, and the police aren't going to be available to do it, so I'm going to have to do it myself. Now, if that's the case, that's a positive. But if it is, if it's and what about background checks in that regard? You know, if these are people who have snuck into the country, who have come through the southern border, who have not done the legal requirements to be here, and they're buying large numbers of weapons. Whoa, you know, we have a problem. Big problem. So we can wind this up, or we can continue. It's up to you. It's up to you. We still have some time. I think I've pretty much exhausted my opinions on these issues, and as Bob said, maybe he took too much time, but I'm glad to have Bob on board. Bob has been a warrior on our side for a long, long time, and it's good to have Bob Knight involved. I know he's worked with Bishop Jackson for quite a few years, and has been a real support for Stan. So it's good to have Bob aboard. All right, let's take one more question.
Thank you very much. This is James Harrison from naturalfamilystrong.com. I heard what you said about leader, but I don't think that's the issue in America today. The issue is we the people. And we are basically, when you look at it, an amoral nation. And I think we need to look at that as the issue. It would be great if the church would stand up. But they're not going to, and they haven't been. And part of that reason is because the family's broken, and the family's broken because the men in the family haven't done their job. I think we start focusing there, we can get to the church, and the church can use the bully pulpit. Again, I don't see anybody out there, that a individual that can lead us out of this. I think it's we the people that we have to depend on.
Thank you for that comment. That just that does open up another door that I think we need to walk through. When you say, you know, the men in the church are not standing up, well, what is the reason for that? I think if you anyone who's done any solid research on this finds out that the one of the major reasons why the men in the church are not standing up is the epidemic of pornography use and sexual brokenness in the church. We're not talking necessarily about the world. In fact, I think the statistics that I've read, the pornography use is as rampant in the church as it is in the world. And so, you know, That's a significant factor in why the men in the church are not standing up. Let's do one more.
Hi, this is Rosemary Shear in Media, Pennsylvania. I'd like to bring up Hey there. Hello, everybody. Hey, y'all. And I'd like to bring up the topic of digital currency, in particular, the push from many different promoters to invest in gold. And my question is, I'd like to have someone who is savvy about that as to what to trust, who to trust, or what to do. And so thank you very much.
Well, I can't comment on that because I'm not savvy. I do have an opinion. I don't know that it's worth anything, but I definitely, you know, there needs to be something, you know, because if we go to a digital currency, you better have something that you're depending on other than the government system, because you know, that digital currency, for everything that I've read, everything I've seen, digital currency is only designed so that the government can control what we do and how we do it. I don't know. Somebody else want to comment on that? Somebody has some experience? Rosemary raises a good question. You know, how do we deal with this idea of digital currency? Maybe that's a topic we can take up on another day. I know what's coming up. Let me just go. Oh. Okay. Okay, go ahead. We have one more. Let's go ahead and take it. It might be a significant comment.
I don't want to overstay my welcome, Marlon, but you mentioned digital currencies. And I happen to have written a piece on digital currencies a couple of weeks ago for the Washington Times. And they are the threat you mentioned. They're all about government control. They're one of the scariest things out there. And President Biden issued an executive order in March ordering the Federal Reserve to and other parts of the government to examine the feasibility of establishing government digital currency, which is scary because it's what the communist Chinese use to exert social control. They call it social credit system, and they monitor every purchase. And if they don't like you, they can say, well, you can't board a train or an airplane or enter a certain building or buy this product because the state thinks you don't have a high enough social credit score. That's what they're aiming for. And organizations like the World Economic Forum are pushing digital currencies. These are scary. And I think the rather than look for alternatives as far as investments, I think we need to stop digital currencies. And people on this call ought to communicate that to their elected representatives and just let them know that, we don't want digital currencies. We don't want to get rid of cash. And, of course, the people who want to get rid of cash always use the excuse that, well, criminals use it, drug dealers use it. So if we get rid of cash, we get rid of anonymity, we can track everything, and we can make everything great. Well, the price is far too high. It would mean total social control. And, you know, that people with gold-backed bonds and things like that are probably on the right track to try to make sure their money is secure. The state of Texas is probably going to issue gold-backed bonds, and it's illegal under the Constitution, which says nobody can issue that except the federal government, but these are bonds, not gold itself. So it's probably constitutional. But at least people are thinking about this. They're looking for ways to counter the monopolization of capital in this country.
Well, I think, Bob, and I think you made a point, you know, we need to be putting pressure on our elected representatives, but we also need to make this an issue in the upcoming elections. Now, Virginia is facing an election this November. What is the position of those who are running for our Senate seats and our House of Delegates on this whole idea of digital currency? Well, do we know what that position is, and can we make a wise choice? And then, of course, the 2024 election. You know, those running for Congress, those running for the Senate. And of course, you know, presidential candidates, but you know, Congress and in particular. Go ahead,
I have yet to see any of the representative candidates or state senate candidates bring up digital currencies. So one of them might have, but it's not a overriding issue. They more often talk about taxes, education, building new roads, you know, local issues. But digital currencies, we need to get it on the radar screen. We need to stop this train before it runs us over. So I agree with that, Marlon. We need to get it out
that's
there.
That's true, Bob. A lot of this stuff, I know, here in Virginia, a lot of this leftist stuff has been snuck in, over the years when we don't understand what the issues are. And so we vote for people. We vote for people who are running based on, I don't know, personality or whatever, or the promises that people are making rather than dealing with the issues. And it's time we raise some of these questions when we're coming to having to choose between who we're voting for. Well, we're going to conclude with that. Thank you, Bob, for your input and all the others. It was an inspiring conversation. It was a great discussion. We may decide to do this more often, but I realize some of you have had an issue. I've heard it from several people, like Claire mentioned, of getting knocked off. I know even on our Friday noon prayer call, people have said that T-Mobile is charging It's supposed to be a free conference call. That's how we have this set up. You should not have to pay. And I think T-Mobile is the only one who is charging, that I'm aware of, is the only one who is charging for these calls. So, you know, that might be something for you to be aware of as well. You know, talk to your carrier and say, hey, you know, you're charging me for something that's supposed to be free. And then as far as getting knocked off, we were actually on a call for our staff meeting the other day, and Bishop got knocked off. It's like, you know, what do we do? I don't know. But it is something that we need to look into. And so we appreciate you being on board. Thank you for your participation. And I was about to mention before, next week, next Tuesday, it's the Tuesday after Labor Day, we will not have a call. That's our habit on the Tuesday after a national holiday. We don't have a call. And then the rest of September, we're looking again at Celebrate American History Month. We're looking to have don't have this lined up yet, but we're looking to have historians like David Barton and Bill Federer, Bob McEwen, you know, men of that stature as our guests on these calls. And so keep that in mind in the coming weeks. But again, no call next week, but we will be back the following week. So remember, stand up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we do not quit, because we are on God's side.